Well, how many have already started planting their gardens this year? Well, it's that time, isn't it? And as we study the Word of God, what are we going to find? That the inspired writers use the most productive yet down-to-earth illustrations which are familiar to all cultures, such as farming, yes, fishing, shepherding, and soldiering. And we want to note now, as we go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, and ask ourselves this question: are we sowing bountifully using the farming principle? But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Now the context of the passage, yes, is concerning the giving of our means. As we know in our worship services, we're to give as we've been prospered on the first day of the week. And we're, of course, to give without thinking of it as a necessity. In other words, not grudgingly. And, of course, God loves a cheerful giver. But would this not also include the use of our time? Yes, and our talents and our abilities as Christians in the principle here of sowing and reaping. Yes, this farming principle will be used in this sense in our study this morning. And so we'll want to begin that study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins and Father Morgan Street Church of Christ. We welcome you this morning to Preparing for Eternity. And hopefully we're all doing just that. Now, we want to take this opportunity to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street in Martinsville as we're studying God's precious Word in our Bible classes. But then as we assemble to worship God, we're striving to do so not only with a proper attitude in spirit, but also in truth in accordance to the New Testament pattern. You would be very much welcome to join in with us. Something else we want to mention, we're always ready to study God's Word with anyone, and we look forward to those opportunities. And we appreciate your Bible questions and comments. They're always welcome. And so again, you can write to us. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027, and our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now, let's get into our study as we're asking ourselves, are we sowing bountifully? And again, we're going to the principle of farming, as God's promise concerning sowing bountifully should be understood by all who are accountable before God. So what are we doing right now to prepare for our eternal destiny? Yes, the name of our program, Preparing for Eternity. And what more important thing could we be doing than just that? So let's begin our study this morning, and starting out with God's law of sowing and reaping. So as we picture in our minds a farmer sowing seed in a plowed field, or for those of you that have the gardens in your backyard, you go out and, of course, you want the soil to be prepared, and you're going to sow the seed in the soil. And later you look forward to reaping a bountiful harvest, especially a farmer with a large field. And also our gardens, we appreciate the vegetables that we're able to share with others as well. Now, as we picture this, we're better able to understand the great lessons of sowing and reaping spiritually. Of course, this is the application we want to make. And as those of you who grew up on a farm know, that there is much work involved in preparing the soil and planting the seeds, watering the plants, cultivating the plants, and of course, harvesting the crop. Most farmers want to sow as much seed as possible in order to harvest a bountiful crop, rather than sowing seed sparingly, of course. The exception there would be when you're getting paid not to plant, I guess. But we don't want to deal with that, do we? So let's notice, as members of the Lord's church, are we sowing sparingly or bountifully when it comes to the use of our time, talents, and money and abilities? Remember, as we sow, so shall the crop be. That again is the farming principle we're looking at, isn't it? Are we fully understanding just how important God's promise concerning sowing and reaping is? Now, again, let's go to verse 6 of 2 Corinthians 9. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Let's keep that in mind. And what do we need to do as sowers of the seed of the kingdom, the church of Christ? We must, number one, prepare the soil, that is the hearts. There needs to be a proper approach. We're not going to get very far in beating people over the head with our Bibles. No, sir. So we need to prepare the hearts. Number two, plant the Word of God by preaching and teaching in an attitude of love, of course, concerned about the lost. Number three, water the heart, just as you would water the plants in the ground which have received the truth. So there needs to be follow-up, doesn't there? Yes. And of course, number four, nourish new converts, grounding them in the truth. Once they do obey the gospel, we don't just go off and leave them. No, sir, we need to ground them in the truth. And number five, always remember that it is God who supplies the seed for the kingdom and gives the increase. That's right. Let us never forget that. 1 Corinthians 3, 5 through 8. Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. So we want to be sure we understand that God provides the seed, number one, and also God gives the increase. Now, vitally important to our study of God's law of spiritual sowing and reaping would be Galatians 6, 7 through 9. Let's go there. Galatians 6, 7 through 9. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. No, sir, we don't want to faint, falling out, leaving the truth, leaving the church. Of course not. So let's note the following principles, which are a must for a proper understanding of God's law of sowing and reaping. Principle number one, every seed produces after its own kind. That's a fact. Every seed produces after its own kind. Now, this principle began on day three of creation when God created all living plants. Every living thing produces after its own kind. Notice Genesis 1, 11 and 12. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And you can see in verse 21 with the whales, of course, all that's in the seas, the fish and the fowl, after their own kind. 24 and 25, and all the beasts of the field, after their own kind. We know two different kinds of animals cannot produce offspring. Now, you can have a different type of dog breed with another type of dog, but they're of the same kind. They're dogs. But it doesn't work with dogs and cats, does it? Certainly not. And it doesn't work with giraffes and hippopotamuses and all the well-known animals we could think of. As long as they're in their own kind, yes, they can bring forth, but not out of their kind. That's not going to take place. That's what we want to understand here. This is a principle that was established in the first week of creation. Every seed produces after its own kind. And all logical thinking people should know that if you plant wheat, you're going to reap wheat. If you plant tomatoes, you're not going to expect to get cucumbers, are you? Everybody should know this. Well, the problem is, when it comes to religion, many people become illogical in their thinking. They leave this principle. How many religious people today believe that the many different denominations are products of people who are following the Bible, and yet they're teaching different things? Now, how can that be? Somebody is not following the Bible if they're teaching opposite things. So when the word of God is planted in a good and honest heart, what's going to be the result? A Christian, not some denominational name which honors someone else other than Christ, or some method or things like that. Of course, it's not logical to think that way. You see, Jesus said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up, Matthew 15:13. So if the word of God is planted in a good and honest heart, a Christian is going to be the result, not some man-made denomination, some man-made religious group. Of course not. So that's principle number one. Every seed produces after its own kind. Principle number two, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Well, let's start with be not deceived. We must not allow anyone to lead us astray whenever someone says, for example, why does God allow evil and suffering to exist? We've heard that argument, have we not? Well, someone may say, I would not allow these little innocent children and babies to suffer. I would do things differently. Well, what that person is really saying is that they think they know better than God. And boy, are they deceived. That should be obvious. Without freedom of choice, man would not have life, which of course, answers the old atheist negative argument. They say that an all-powerful and good God would not allow evil and suffering to exist, but they don't realize God is love, and love demands giving man free will to choose whether he will obey or disobey God. And when man chooses to disobey God, what is the result? Evil and suffering. And thus, it's going to continue because man is not submitting to the will of God. And any time we allow what man says to influence our mindset over what God says, we have been deceived. And we need to point this out. What man knows everything, past, present, and future? We all know the answer. Man, of course, does not know everything about the past, present, and future. He sees only a small part of life's picture, but God sees the whole picture. And how foolish is it for mere man to judge God, to think that he knows more or better than his creator? It's out of place, of course, when man thinks that. Because of pride, man thinks that he can speak against God as the word of God speaks to this very foolishness, doesn't it? Romans 9, 20 and 21. Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, Why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? Yes, he does, just as God has the right, God's sovereignty, yes, gives him the right to make laws, and man needs to submit to them and obey the gospel of Christ, of course, living in the Christian age as we do. Notice Galatians 6:3, for if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. We better not speak against God. We better not reply against God. He is our creator. And we need to humbly submit ourselves before God and do his will. But let's go on and notice the other phrase here. After be not deceived. Yes, be not deceived. God is not mocked. That is, man does not have the power to change or to stop God's plan. In other words, man cannot make things turn out differently than what God said they will. That's right. We all should know that. When man thinks that he can sow one thing and reap another, he's been deceived by Satan. No one can override what God has brought forth and arranged. God is not mocked. Those who sow to the flesh shall reap corruption, and those who sow to the Spirit shall reap eternal life. It's going to turn out like God said it would. Now, do we understand that? And this brings us to the next principle. Principle number 3. Every one of us, all who are accountable before God, is either sowing God's seed, which is sowing to the Spirit, or sowing Satan's seed, which is sowing to the flesh. Well, let's start with sowing to the Spirit, what this means. First of all, it means being spiritually minded. Romans 8:6, Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. To have the mind of Christ, we have to know what his teachings are. We have to follow his will. And number 2, sowing to the Spirit means putting God first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Matthew 6:33. Are we putting God first? Number three, sowing to the Spirit means walking in the Spirit by following the directions of the Spirit as set forth in the Word of God. Galatians 5:17, 25, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. We all should know these verses. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction unto righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. Perfect here, meaning mature, not sinless perfect, but we're able to be mature. How? By understanding God's word and applying it to our lives. 2 Peter 1:3, it pertains unto all things, unto life and godliness. Nothing is lacking. It's all sufficient. We need to understand that. Sowing to the Spirit means, number four, having a proper attitude towards God and our fellow man, and of course ourself. But notice the order there. God comes first, our fellow man, and then ourself. We're not to have low self-esteem, but to just understand the order that we need to come last, but there's a place for us. In Matthew 5:3, of course, through 12, you have the Beatitudes. And that's a good study, isn't it? How to be truly happy. And we have to empty ourselves in order to be filled with the goodness of God, filled with the teachings of Christ. And certainly we need to do that. Have a proper attitude towards God, our fellow man, and ourself. Number five, again, we're discussing what sowing to the Spirit means. It means worshiping God, which includes giving. John 4:24, Philippians 4:14 through 17, Hebrews 10:25, we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. So yes, worshiping God, that's right, and doing all five avenues of worship. And then number six, sowing to the Spirit means living righteously. 2 Corinthians 9:10, as we've discussed. Now he that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increaseth the fruit of your righteousness. Yes, we want to live righteously. Ephesians 5:9. Number seven, answering again, sowing to the Spirit means laboring to every good work in producing the fruits of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22 through 23, Colossians 1:10, Titus 2:7, and so forth. Number eight, sowing to the Spirit means teaching the gospel of Christ. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the world. That's the Great Commission, isn't it? Matthew 28:19 and 20. Yes, we want to continue to teach the truth. And number nine, sowing to the Spirit means upholding the truth. Philippians 2:16, we want to be set for the defense of the gospel. We want to stand strong in the faith, upholding and defending the truth. And number 10, sowing to the Spirit means exposing doctrinal error, marking those that are false teachers. Romans 16:16 and 7:17, Ephesians 5:11. So this should be what we're practicing if we're sowing to the Spirit. But now let's go to the opposite, sowing to the flesh. What does that mean? Well, it means, number one, leaving Christianity to go back to Judaism, the context of Galatians here, or to any other unscriptural religious organization. Galatians 5:1 through 4, notice. Yes, we've fallen from grace if we do that. Number two, sowing to the flesh means being worldly minded. And this is, of course, easy for people to fall into today with so many distractions. We've got to keep focused on what's above and on the truth of God's word. Number three, sowing to the flesh means putting self first. And that's not the proper order, is it? No, God has to come first, others second, self last. Sowing to the flesh means thinking one knows how to direct one's steps in this life. And we all should realize that's not true. As Jeremiah said, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It's not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Jeremiah 10:23. Number 5, sowing to the flesh means walking after the desires of the flesh and living apart from the teachings of the Holy Spirit. We don't want to be involved in that, do we? We shouldn't, as so many are. And number 6, sowing to the flesh means producing the fruits of the flesh. Galatians 5:19-21. You'll want to study that. And therefore, we must be sure that we are sowing to the Spirit rather than the flesh. And of course, Galatians 5:16-25 certainly relates to this principle. And so we all need to study that passage. And as we come to the conclusion of our study this morning, we'll have to put a peg here, and we want to pick back up, Lord willing, next week with principle number 4. Again, we're talking about God's law of sowing and reaping. And we've looked at 3 principles this morning, and we'll, Lord willing, again, continue our study next Lord's Day. But at this time, we want to encourage you to obey the gospel of Christ if you have not done so. We stand ready to assist you. What do we have to do in order to become a child of God? The first thing is hear the truth, Romans 10:17. The next step is to believe that Jesus is the Christ, John 8:24. Now we're ready to repent. Having believed that Jesus died for our sins, we're motivated to do his will. We're going to turn our life around and accept God's will. And thus, we turn away from a life of sin. Luke 13:3-5. Having repented, now we're ready to make the good confession unto salvation. We're not there yet, but this is unto salvation, Romans 10:9-10, stating that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God, stating that before others. Now, having done that, we're ready to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of our sins, Acts 2:38. We know in 1 Peter 3:21, baptism doth also now save us. Are we going to believe the word of God or what someone has told us? We better believe the word of God. In order to be forgiven of our sins, we have to contact the blood of Christ. God has placed the blood of Christ in the watery grave of baptism. As you study Romans 6:3-6, you'll see that. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? That's where Jesus shed his blood in his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And then the Lord adds us to his body, the true church, Acts 2:47. Here's where we need to remain faithful. Even if it means our death, we'll have the victory. We stand ready to assist you in obeying the gospel of Christ, and we thank you so much for listening today.